prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I am Pastor Dave. Jeff is Pastor Jeff. And we are from Revolution Church.
Bacon. Another reason I know Jesus loves me.
I love this shirt.
Nice shirt, Dave.
Yeah, I want it.
This is the type of thing we wear at Revolution Church.
It is.
So you can wear anything you want here. We just don't really care that much.
You can love bacon and Jesus at the same time.
You can do it. I did a sermon one time called Smoking Bacon and Jesus, or Smoking Bacon and More Without Being Judged.
There you go.
And, you know, we're about doing what God wants us to do, but we're also about the radical, untamed, awesome mercy and forgiveness of God.
Mm-hmm. I would say, though, that smoking bacon is really hard on the lungs.
Oh my gosh. So anyway, 10 reasons why Christianity is wrong is what we're talking about today.
You know, I mean, we've done things like this before.
Yep.
And it just seems like there's a lot of different articles out there. I mean, there are tons of them. You can't go anywhere without bumping into one of these on the internet.
Yeah. So we love to do these every once in a while. We just grab one from online and we start to go through it. And just basically we discuss and provide some answers to why the article or why the author thinks that Christianity is absurd. So this is Trevor Burrus. We'll link to his website. You can see the article yourself.
Right.
You go to truthrevolution.tv. But we would love you to share our podcast, our radio show on Facebook, on Twitter, on whatever social media you happen to be on. We'd love for you to send in some questions if you have some. I love talking to all of you, sending the questions. That's really fun.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of really good questions.
It starts out with number 10. This is number 10 reason why Christianity is wrong.
Okay.
It starts out by saying, it is absurd.
It is absurd is what he says. He says, of course, they made this list backwards, but he's restating things, okay? He says, when someone comes to us with an extravagant claim, the most common reason we may discount the claim is because, to put it curtly, we find it absurd. The reason why the majority of people don't believe in Scientology, reincarnation, Mormonism, Greek gods, etc., is not because they have extensively researched the historicity and the veracity of the claims. It is because they don't believe such things happen in the world.
Okay, so let's just pause there for a second. I think he's right. He's right. That is why most people don't believe in reincarnation or Scientology or the Greek gods, because it isn't because we've researched it in depth. It's because we just don't believe that's how it is.
Right.
Now, what's interesting is he's not made a logical conclusion here.
Right.
He said, most people don't do this. And then he's applying this to Christianity. So most people don't believe in Greek gods because they think it's dumb. So that's why I don't believe in Christianity, because I think it's absurd.
I don't believe in Christianity because Greek gods are dumb.
Now, right. But just because something seems absurd to you doesn't mean it can't happen. I mean, Dave, the Denver Broncos.
Oh, I knew it was coming.
I'm not even going to say it.
Go ahead and say it.
The
okay,
Denver Broncos
it.
Sometimes win Super Bowls.
Yes, they do. They've won 3 now.
That's absurd to me.
I know it is.
But it happens.
It's okay, Jeff.
And we also have to question.
I'll bring you into the fold eventually.
Now, there's a couple other things here that I suppose if I was having this conversation with someone and they were like, well, look, you don't believe in any Greek gods, right? And you didn't study that in depth. We would say, and we have this little thing we go over that shows why Jesus is different from the other religions, and why Jesus alone, his claims to be God, show that Christianity can be mutually exclusive. If Jesus is right and he is God who's come to earth, died, and rose from the dead, and he's proved it, then that is mutually exclusive to all other religions.
Right.
It's like saying, here's a key. This key only opens one door. And if you find the house that key opens, you don't need to go to the 99 other houses and check the door, right?
Yeah, maybe it'll work over there.
You found the one.
Right.
And Jesus says he is the only way. Only way. So there's no other way. And so if you believe in Jesus, you don't need to go to these other ones. So that's why we would say we don't believe in them. It's not because I haven't studied them in depth. Or it's not just because I just don't like them. I just think it's absurd. It's because I found the key that opens the one door that it applies to. There's no need to check the other doors. Now he goes on, he says, and by the way, we're just reading this. We're just reading this really for the first time.
Right.
We're just skimming through this. We're just coming off the here, the top. What would we answer someone like this? He says, in other words, common sense tells us that when someone claims the absurd, almost anything is more likely to be the case than for the absurd thing to be real. Men do not miraculously heal the sick, raise the dead, cure the blind, rise from the grave. The claims of Christianity are prima facie absurd. The burden of proof is on them.
Right, and the Denver Broncos do sometimes win the Super Bowl, so there. Broncos win Super Bowls. Jesus is God.
We got a learning disability here.
Kind of.
So, look. Okay, so I see what you'd say right off the bat. Just face value looks absurd. But we have to look at the evidence. It looks absurd for someone to actually be able to rob a bank and get away with it.
Right.
But it's happened. I've looked at the evidence and wow, look, here's news stories that the bank got robbed and got away with it. Here's the bank statement from the bank showing they lost money. Here's the insurance company actually paying the bank money. Mm-hmm. Like the evidence shows, wow, even though this seems absurd, the evidence is there. We've gone over the evidence, statistical probability, right? The resurrection of Jesus, the fatal torment, the empty tomb, the appearances and the transformation of the people who saw him.
Right.
All these different things show evidence and lead to the conclusion that it really did happen.
Right. So we do the same thing in murder trials, and we've talked about this before. But the reason why we do murder trials is because men have different opinions. Mm-hmm. And I would have a different opinion about whether this man might have killed somebody than another person sitting right next to me. So people argue their case.
And we bring in the evidence.
And we bring in the evidence, and the evidence points to the conclusion.
That's right. And in fact, I might say the opposite to this guy. I may say the opposite and say, the claim that there is no God is actually absurd. Mm-hmm. That we could have this universe that exists without being caused.
Right.
That we could have someone who fulfilled hundreds of prophecies, or at least over 100 prophecies, the statistical probability of that happening, ridiculous. And that all just happened by chance. The fact that we just somehow came to be these complex beings, multicellular beings with rationality, the ability to comprehend our own existence.
Right.
This is all just an accident. The fixed order of the stars, the orbits of the planets.
Right. And if we are just the sum of our atoms and stuff like that, then basically you could predict anything. Right? I mean, because...
Well, that's true, but I'm saying something different, though. I'm saying that to believe that that happened on accident, that is absurd.
Right.
That is absurd. And he's saying to believe in a God is absurd. Well, I think it's more rational to believe that there is a being who caused the order of the universe than it is to believe that just random chaotic chance caused all this order.
Right. Right. And there is great order in the universe. There's great design in the universe. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about that before.
Yeah. Let's say number two or number nine.
Number
He's
nine.
Counting down here. So.
Jesus has not returned.
Uh-oh.
You can't handle the truth.
However, for 2,000 years, 80 generations, a substantial number of every single generation of Christians has wholeheartedly believed that Jesus' return was imminent.
No. Nope. Okay. Nope. Sorry.
This often included exact dates that, when they came to pass, did not cause the believers to toss their erroneous ideologies aside. And this perennial incorrectness goes back to the beginning.
Okay, so anyway, he said that for 2,000 years, every single generation has wholeheartedly believed that Jesus was going to return in their generation. They gave dates about it. That's just not true.
Right.
Until the 1800s is when John Darby came up with his theory of how to interpret the Bible. Dispensationalism is what we call it. And this is where the idea of a rapture and Jesus returning and causing a rapture on a specific date really, really grabbed hold. And this is where all these people started coming up with these dates and craziness. Mm-hmm. Before then, most Christians, almost all Christians, for 1,800 years, believed that the book of Revelation was about AD 70, not 1870, but
right.
70 AD, mm-hmm. In those eras. They didn't believe in a rapture. This is a new idea in Christianity. He's just taking this new idea that Christians believe right now, and he's assuming that all Christians have always believed it.
Broad brush strokes.
Now, he will have been making a good point when he says that Jesus has not returned yet and that all Christians have believed that Jesus would be returning. Now, he doesn't specifically say it's all about the rapture. It's really blown up. It's really gotten a bigger deal because of the rapture. But it's true that Jesus has not come back yet. Now,
does that make it not true?
That's a good question. Thank you, Dave, for asking that question. Very good job. Because, again, he's made a point that although he's made an eloquent point, it doesn't prove Christianity false.
Right.
Jesus said, hey, I'm going to come back. It's not going to be for a while. But don't worry. There's going to be people saying that, hey, here's Jesus. Don't believe it. You just wait. Just keep pursuing God and just wait.
Right. I get 2 direct deposit checks every month. Okay.
Good for you. Thanks. That's awesome.
I actually said that to make a point.
Oh, sorry. Okay, go ahead.
So they get deposited on a specific day each month, 2 specific days each month, right? And so I jump on there at midnight every day on those days. And if it's not there, I get really disturbed.
Really?
Because my check's not coming. It's not coming. It hasn't come yet. I check it at 1 o'clock. It's not there yet. It is never coming. But then at the end of the day, there's money in the bank. You know what I mean? It's kind of like
I totally get the same deal. I totally get what you're saying. You know, we have this class, Financial Peace University. You should really take it. Anyway.
Kind of leading it right now?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You make a good point. Mm. Just because something hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Right. And we actually look to the resurrection of Jesus Christ as proof that he's going to come again. He said, hey, I'm going to die, and in 3 days, I'm going to come again. He died, and in 3 days, he came back.
Right.
Then he said, hey, I'm leaving. I'm not going to tell you when I'm coming back, but I'm going to come back when you're not ready. That's what he said.
Yeah, exactly.
So we know he's coming back, and he's coming back when we're not ready.
Right. So if you see somebody predict a specific date,
yeah,
that's probably not it.
That's probably not the date.
Right.
All right, number 8.
Number 8, God doesn't care.
Oh, interesting.
Most people believe in God. And when asked why they believe in God, the most common answer is taken from the argument from design. The universe is too ordered and beautiful to have arisen from an intelligence behind it.
Which we just basically kind of talked about.
Right. Whether or not this is true, this claim has little to do with Christianity. And we agree with that as well. Mm-hmm. Christianity claims that God not only created the world, but also takes an active part in its management.
Good. Now, this is good. He's identifying that the Kalam cosmological or the teleological arguments, the arguments for God's existence here, just say, hey, boom, we proved God exists. Okay.
Right.
We proved it. Prove God exists. Now, we haven't proved Christianity yet.
Right.
We just proved there's a God. And he's right about that. But he goes on.
Right. And see, he also takes active part in its management, in our moral choices, and in our fates. In other words, he cares. It is this conception of God that bends credulity to the breaking point.
Ooh.
God as essence, that is the first cause, God or a higher power God, is far less difficult concept than God as being.
God, a being, like a person, like one with a mind who cares about you. He's saying this is really hard to understand. According to centuries-old Christian dogma, God is immutable. Okay, he doesn't change. All right. He says, second, the idea of an omnipotent, that's all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful God, having desires borders on nonsensical. Okay, we're going to come back to this.
Okay.
We're going to come back to this and talk about why God can be immutable, non-changing, why he can be all-knowing, why he can be all-powerful, and still care about us. This guy sees this as a contradiction.
Right.
It's not really a contradiction. We're going to come back and talk about that in just a minute. But Dave, where should they go in the meantime?
TruthRevolution.tv.
And they also, you know, guys, yeah, a lot of you listening here, you've thought about coming out to Revolution Church.
Mm-hmm.
You've got time to do that. If you listen on the radio, we start at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 5 p.m.
And if you just happen to be too far away, you can always go to live.revo.church.
That's right. So Revolution Church here in Salina, Kansas, we would love to have you. We don't care what you wear. We don't care if you got tattoos. We don't care. None of that. We just want you to know God better.
Live.revo.church.
Live.revo.church. Or go to truthrevolution.tv and click on one where. You can find our church service information there too.
Yeah.
At truthrevolution.tv. Just come on out. Check us out. 3 services for you to choose from. If you like a little more intimate setting, the 5 p.m. one's a great one.
Yeah.
If you like a crowd, the 11 a.m. one's good.
And it is a crowd, so.
All right, we're going to be right back. We're going to talk about God does care. And then we're going to answer Bible contradiction on the other side of this break. Thanks to all of you sending questions and help this show go out.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Does the Bible actually teach that hell will last forever?
Annihilationism is a view that says people in hell will actually be destroyed instead of punished forever.
But are there any verses that teach hell lasts forever?
Well, I think one of the clearest verses comes from Jesus' own mouth. Mark 9 says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands and go into hell where the fire never goes out.
Ah, the fire will never go out.
And Jesus wasn't just teaching about a place called hell when he said the fire would never go out.
He was teaching about how people should avoid going there.
The people, even if they had to cut off their hand. Now, that's a pretty serious statement.
Of course, there are other verses on the subject, too.
On both sides of the argument. But the question we have to ask is, which verses are the clearest, and what does most of the evidence say? Don't just look at one or two verses.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Do you love Truth Revolution?
Of course they do, Dave.
Well, if you do, or...
Or if you appreciate the fact that thousands of people are being taught that Christianity is compatible with science and logic.
Or if you simply love the fact that we hear from people often who say, this show changed my life, I love Jesus.
Then consider a donation.
You can visit TruthRevolution.tv or Revolution Church and donate.
We don't get paid from this show.
But it's our goal to give truth, give knowledge, give encouragement.
And your giving keeps all of our giving going.
I love tattoos.
I love science.
We both love God. Yeah, you can have tattoos, science, and faith in Jesus at the same time.
Revolution Church would love to have you come on out.
Online at revo.church. That's R-E-V-O.church.
Our service times are Sunday at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 5 p.m.
Try us 3 weeks in a row and...
And your tattooed scientific self may like it. Revo.church is our website. That is...
Revo.church.
R-E-V-O.church. Ephesians 1:4 says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. We were chosen by God to be saved before the world began. But listen to the rest of this verse. It says, in love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. God chooses to describe his grand cosmic plan for the redemption of humankind as adoption. Now God chooses words carefully. And Jewish theologians, including Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, believed that history from the beginning was moving towards a pinnacle mountaintop when God would redeem his people, that is Jesus Christ redeeming us. And all the climax of all history, physical, emotional, spiritual, is described as our adoption because of Jesus. Consider adoption today. God uses the word as the pinnacle of what he's done for you and me. And it can be the pinnacle of what you do for another human being in this world.
Truth Revolution.
God doesn't care.
That's what he's saying. We're going over this article. And he says God doesn't care. This is why he thinks Christianity is ridiculous. In there, he says, Christians consistently claim that God wants us to believe in him and follow his commandments. However, they also claim that he knows whether we do so or not. So what's the point of him wanting anything? Okay, it's interesting. He's saying this is... His argument is that God doesn't care. He's kind of mixed up the two things here. I'm going to try to answer both of them. The first one, he said, look, God doesn't change. God's all-knowing. God's all-powerful. But he's immutable, so he doesn't change. How could he actually care about you? He says, you can't just claim this argument that God exists and that he's a caring God. Well, the way we know that God cares for us is because of Jesus.
Amen.
So Jesus came down to earth. This is God who's taking on flesh. God the Son takes on flesh. He comes down here, and though he was one with God, and though he had within his rights all the power of God, he chose, even though he had equality with God, he chose not to be considered equal with God. He chose to lay down his power. He chose to be mistreated and abused and resurrected and punished on our behalf. If that's not the definition of love and caring, I really don't know what is.
That is actually the exact definition of love and caring.
Yeah. Sacrificing yourself for people who have done nothing for you, but have only rejected you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty massive love. That's a huge amount of love. That's how we know God cares. Now, if God was just some cosmic deity who is far away, then fine. I would agree with you. I don't know if God cares or not. But he sent his son Jesus down to the earth to pay our sins.
Right. It wasn't like he actually, it was like a set it and forget it and God's out playing golf somewhere.
Right.
You know, he actually interacted with human existence in the person of Jesus Christ.
That's right. It's called deism, the mm-hmm. belief that God kind of wound the world up, stepped back, watched it go. But we aren't deists. We are followers of Jesus because he loves us. Now, he comes in and he says, well, okay, so the different question, what is the point of God wanting anything if he knows what's going to happen? Well, God set up, he chose this universe to exist. So he knows what choices we're going to make, but we still have the free choice and ability mm-hmm. to make those decisions. He still wants us to make the right decision, even though he knows we're going to do. I sometimes know absolutely 100% what my kids are going to do. 100%. I still want them to make the right choice, whether I know they're going to do it or not.
Amen.
It doesn't.
Well said.
Omniscience doesn't change whether or not God wants you to do the right thing. Anyway, yeah. All right, number seven.
Other religions. For most of Christian history, the problem caused by other religions were not pressing, if they were considered at all. In the enclosed world of medieval times, when most people would never travel more than 10 miles from the place of birth, people of non-Christian faith seemed almost phantasms. However, in the modern world, the pots have been poured together and the faiths are now intermingling on a daily basis. This, of course, brings religion problems to the front, but it also should force Christians and other faiths to make a few realizations. First, that faiths are conveyed primarily genealogically, from parents to children, as opposed to through dialect or dialectical later life conversions. And, you know, I mean, we agree with that to a point.
To an extent.
Yeah, because when I was a kid, I called myself a Christian because my parents were Christian. My grandparents were Christian. Mm-hmm. But that didn't mean I was necessarily Christian.
No. And, I mean, you can go to India, and we have, our denomination has good churches in India. Mm-hmm. There's lots of Christians who converted in India. But I think it's funny because he calls this article 10 Reasons Why Christianity is Wrong. And then right after he says, well, there's other religions and a lot of times you believe the religion of the country you're born in. He says, but this is not because Christianity is right or wrong, but because faiths carry their own momentum that is not derived from the truth or falsity of the beliefs. 100%. I agree with him.
Right.
100%. The fact that you're more likely to believe in Jesus growing up in America than you are growing up in India has nothing to do with whether or not is actually real or not.
Right.
Right. I mean, Christianity rises and falls based on did Jesus rise from the dead or did he not?
Right.
It doesn't have to do anything with were you born in X country or Y country?
Right. The Bible itself says that if Jesus did not rise from the dead, that his followers would be pitied above all men.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what we hinge it on.
Yeah. He says, Christians must unhesitatingly accept people are very good at making up fantastical stories about events and figures in the past and then believing them with fervor. True. Kind of. If Christianity was the only belief system in the world that made extravagant claims, and if his claims resembled none others in the world, then we would have more reason to believe it to be true. That's interesting. What separates Christianity from all the other religions?
Well, the fact that God actually interacted with the world.
Yes.
And the things that he said were true. The things that the Bible predicted actually came true. Which one do you want me to pick?
Every single religion in the world either says there is no God that's going to judge you, or there is a God that's going to judge you and you somehow have to please him.
Right.
Christianity says there's only one God, and he's the one who saves you, period.
Amen.
That's conceptually different than every other religion that exists.
Yeah, that's true. And I'd thought of that about that before, but mm-hmm. that escaped me. So
now, the only religions that are similar to that are religions that are in the same branch as Christianity mm-hmm. that have either perverted Christianity and ran off its own direction, like Jehovah's Witnesses mm-hmm. or Mormonism.
Right.
Things like that. So, or even Judaism, which Christianity came from, Judaism would say the same thing, that God has to forgive you. He has to be merciful to you. It's not us working our way to God. So Christianity is different than the other religions in that way. So let's go to number six.
There is no soul.
Oh,
the inexcusable flippancy of the term soul abounds. And though most people believe it in it and freely use the term, they have no idea what it means. The evidence for physicalism, that the mind is the brain, has become nothing less than overwhelming.
Which, that's not really accurate.
Yeah. This evidence exists not only in the highest levels of research, where scientists can now point to and manipulate the exact locations of our gray, in our gray matter, where essential characteristics lie.
Okay, okay. Let me just pause him here.
Okay.
You can, he's pointing to brain studies, but you can find a spot in someone's brain, and you, if you had a little needle and you could prick a point in someone's brain and it makes their arm go up, you could do that. You could prick that point in their brain and make their arm go fly up wildly. And if you ask that person, why did you raise your arm up? What would that person say?
I didn't.
They would say, I didn't. It just did it. My body did it by itself, right? I didn't. There is a me that is different from my body. That is what a soul is.
Right. The brain, isn't the brain where the mind interacts with the body anyway?
Yeah.
Really, honestly?
Probably. I mean, we think so.
Yeah.
You know, we did this great show. Let's link to it if we can.
Okay.
With J.P. Moreland about the soul, mm-hmm. and the existence of the soul and how we know the soul's real. Excellent show. We talked about memories and how memories are etched onto your soul, right. Not just your brain. Got to check that one out. We're going to move past this discussion about the soul because I think a discussion with J.P. Moreland is just too good. Let's jump and do our Bible contradiction.
All right.
Bible contradiction.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Dave.
Don't we believe that through God all things are possible?
Absolutely, we believe all things are possible.
Jesus actually said this in Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible.
Awesome.
But with God, all things are possible.
Okay, that's great.
However, Judges 1:9 says the Lord was with the men of Judah. They took possession of the hill country, but they were unable to drive the people from the plains because they had chariots fitted with iron.
So even though the Lord was with them, they couldn't do it because of the
right.
chariots.
Yeah.
God is obviously not as strong as iron chariots.
Right.
I guess
we just arm ourselves with iron, I guess.
I guess so. You know, we use our cracked acronym. And by the way, this is from freethoughtdebater.org. Mm-hmm. That's where this Bible contradiction comes from. We use our cracked acronym to solve Bible contradictions, to interpret the Bible. The K stands for
knit together.
Means you have to understand the Bible as a whole rather than just picking little tiny verses out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you came to me and said, Jeff, how many kids you got? I said, well, 6 kids right now. You'd be like, if you didn't know that I did foster care, you'd probably be like, what? And actually people say this to me all the time. What, 6 kids right now? Right now? What do you mean right now? Like you're going to like throwing out the car on your way home?
Right.
Like, they come up with these weird thoughts. Well, no, if you know me and understand me when I say 6 kids for now, you know exactly what I mean. Like we could get another one tonight
mm-hmm.
or, you know, one of them, the foster kid, they might take him back tomorrow. I don't know.
Right.
And so that's what I mean. So when we read scripture as a whole, we understand God can do anything. He can do all things are possible. And consistently, though all things are possible, people come into problems and they go, oh no, we're not going to be able to do it, even though God's helping them.
Right.
You know, we read this in Numbers chapter 14. Okay, in this book, there's Caleb and Joshua. Mm-hmm. They want to go fight in the promised land and take it over like God right. told them to do. Okay, so God tells them to do this, and they're like, oh, we're going to do it. But then everyone else, except for Joshua and Caleb, was like, no, they're too strong. There's like giants there. We're going to die.
Right.
And in Numbers 14, we read this.
The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the signs that I have performed among them?
Okay, we might as well take this verse and put it right behind the verse we read in Judges. That seems like a contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Lord was with the men of Judah, it says in Judges 1. They took possession of the hill country, but they were unable to drive the people because they had chariots. And the Lord said, how long are they going to not trust me?
Right.
Just do it. Right. This is not about God's inability. This is about the people not trusting God for it, even though God was with them.
Well said.
All right. TruthRevolution.tv is our website.
Right, you want to get there, past shows, got truth shots. You can donate and ask questions.
Ask your questions, send them right in.
What are you doing?
We respond to everyone who sends in a question.
Crikey.
And coming out to Revolution Church where there's no bad accents.
There you go.
But if you have bad accent, we'd still welcome you. We really don't care.
Right. Well, a lot of people from around the outliers of the country would say we have bad accents. So there.
Yeah, that's true, mate. 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, or 5 o'clock?
He said 9, 11, or 5.
See you then, mate. I don't even know if that's how they talk. All right, I'm done being stupid. We're out. Have a great week. God bless you.